What's going on, nerds? Kevin Love is back, and none of your pining for second-round picks is going to make a goddamn difference. The Cleveland Cavaliers lost the tanking battle to the New York Knicks. The terrible, terrible basketball player that is Kevin Knox was just a little bit too much to overcome. And, of course, this is the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan, with my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
Boy, you said you were going to bring the energy, and you did. I wasn't ready for that.
I'm sick of it, man. I haven't even looked at the reactions, and I'm already mad at the anti-Kevin Love takes.
We lost the tanking battle, but we won the karmic war.
Yes. So,
suck it, everybody.
It's important to get that energy out there. I mean, ultimately, tonight's win doesn't have any change over the lottery odds. You still have the same kind of odds. And I understand that there is a downside in finishing with the third worst record because you can fall further. Even though you're in the same tier of player, you'd like to have your pick of the litter. But ultimately, here's where I stand on this. And this isn't going to be a surprise to anybody because I have been on the pro Kevin Love as long as he wants to be in Cleveland bandwagon. I really think, so worst case scenario now is that you fall to the fourth worst record because I don't think you can catch Atlanta.
No.
I think if it means that this team learns how to play with one another, that the development of Colin Sexton is advanced by having Kevin Love on the floor, by having competent players around there, and that Love looks good down the stretch, because obviously he'd have to if you're winning some games down the stretch. I think that's for the good of the franchise. I think the growth, the potential for growth by having the team try to play and demonstrate some sort of competent basketball, I think that's more important than just artificially trying to lower your floor as much as humanly possible.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is how I've always felt, you know, it's with these new odds, the incentives aren't really there to be so bad that it, you know, like it's not really worth it ultimately to right. Go out of your way to be so bad for, you know, a 47% chance of still picking fourth. You know, it's funny. We've talked a lot about how people think these new odds are supposed to, you know, they're aimed at curtailing tanking by like making it not worth it. But really what I think the practical effect is teams in the middle class are just going to get random bumps from time to time. So I don't know. I like having Kevin Love out there. It kind of goes back to the kind of the grumpy old man in me with this Cavs team and with my sports viewership in general at this point, which is like, listen, if I got to sit here and watch, I at least wanted to try to win. And I mean, the difference in the first half when he was playing and how the Cavs looked, even against this dog shit Knicks team that is not trying to win, difference between them in the first half and them in the second half was just so marked. He passes the ball at a level higher than just about anyone on the team. He has just more. He can try more difficult things and not have it look ridiculous. And I just thought he looked really good out there. Still shaking off some rust and some fatigue after missing almost the whole season, but. And I'm glad they gave him a little bit more run than they gave him the first time around, where he played like 5 minutes and sat the rest of the game. I was like, what was the point of that?
Right.
This time we at least got to see him flex his muscles a little bit.
Yeah, and obviously they're trying to be as protective as possible with him because whether people like it or not, they do view him as the face of the franchise moving forward. I think by the time that Love is actually looking like himself, where he can play 35 minutes in a game at 100%, his conditioning will be up there. I mean, we'll only have a couple weeks left of the season at that point. So I'm really not too concerned about what this does to the Cavs lottery odds or anything like that. I do think we might have a new tank commander here, Carter. Nick Stauskas, my boy Sauce Castillo. He is Castillo. Sorry, I'm going to work on it. But I mean, -16 in his minutes tonight. 1 of 9 from the floor. this might be the savior we need to help us get through this Kevin Love era.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And but the other tank commander, Marquise Chris, somehow managed one of the most efficient games of his career. So I don't know. The T3 zone yet again conquered the Cavaliers, but he did okay today.
Here's the thing with Marquise Chris that I've noticed in the past, and I'm noticing it with the Cavs. If what he's doing is, hey, I'm catching the ball and shooting, or I'm getting the ball on off of movement and I have a chance to go up and dunk, he's going to look like a pretty okay player. Like, he's going to look serviceable. It's every other moment that he's on a basketball court, whether it's defensive
awareness. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of moments.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments. If it's trying to find passing lanes, he has no idea where to go. His decision-making is just terrible. But as you said before, he has everything you'd want in a basketball player except for intelligence.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's a big part of the game, but and he'll probably help the Cavs lose some games. I didn't mind old Sauce Castillo, though.
He's taking shots. Like, that's
ideally, he'll have a couple fun games and he'll be worth it for the Cavs. It is kind of, not to be a bummer or anything, but like, it is kind of a downer that Osmond got hurt right as Love came back. Cause I really want to see everyone. I want to see like the Sexton, Nwaba, Osmond, Love, Nance, or TT lineup. We talked about midway through the season or wherever the fuck we were at the time that, you know, we just kind of wanted to see the Cavs find some positive lineups that yielded some good results. And we kind of finally have a chance to do that now. Even if we're not going to see a lot of wins, you don't get to play the Knicks every night. So I'm really looking forward to Osmond getting back and kind of seeing how he looks with everyone.
Yeah, and I think this was another example of the team just being extra cautious. There was talk that he'd be able to play tonight, but I think we're going to see him against Brooklyn. Obviously, he really wants to take part in that Rising Stars game, and I think that's going to be a really nice opportunity for him. But getting back to Stauskas before we move on to him, because I think we've already dedicated enough time for the entire season on him. He's taking mostly the right shots. He's shooting threes. There's a willingness to shoot. And that's, even if it's a miss, that's a more enjoyable outcome than Rodney Hood dribbling for like 15 seconds. And I think taking away some of the ball handlers that we had, because Burks and Hood really did dominate the ball a lot of the time while they were here. I think that's kind of freed up Sexton. I think we're seeing him play with a little bit more confidence, and he looked a lot better tonight, at least in the stretches where Love was on the floor. He's looked better the last few games. He looks more confident. I'm liking what I'm seeing from him lately. It's an encouraging little stretch, and I hope as he has more time with Love that we just kind of see him build upon these games.
Yeah, it's no doubt the most encouraging four-game stretch of his career. 27, 27, 16, and 20. Three or four assists each game. This was definitely not one of his better games from the field. He went 7-21. Right. 2 of 8 from three, just taking a lot of out-of-rhythm threes against that zone. But you're right, when he did play with Love, he was getting some good looks. I think it was a cut for a dunk, and Love was. Do you notice how like fucking engaged Love was on the?
Yeah, Love basically ran to the hoop to, and that's something we've noticed.
It was kind of nice seeing the team rally around Sexton, given that they gave up on him since he hadn't improved in 45 games.
Right, but I mean, there's certain people that
allegedly.
Yeah. I mean, certain people that. Want to see Sexton fail or don't seem to be in his corner, aren't with the team right now. So
yeah.
That certainly helps. And yeah, we've seen the bench, like they seem engaged. Like this is a group that it's bad basketball players, but they seem to enjoy playing with one another. And I just think with Love being in the lineup, and the other guy that we've seen lately now is David Nwaba.
Having him back. I've never seen a player who shoots 2 of 9 as often as David Nwaba that I love.
Yeah, it just brings like a level of intensity and competence to the floor. Like,
and his hands are so fast, and he's in control. I just like watching him play. It's just like he's the kind of guy that like in the pickup run that no one picks, and then he ends up winning you a game.
Right.
You know, like all the guys who can dribble and ostensibly look like they can shoot or score or post a little bit, they all go first, and then this motherfucker is just like,
yeah, this running back.
Yeah, is just like blowing up plays on defense and scoring in transition and making the right passes and spotting up from three. You know, he's never going to be, I'm almost certain he's never going to be a great offensive player.
I think that's pretty safe. He's 26 years old. Yeah.
But like I wouldn't mind keeping this guy around for the long term, even as he's, you know, stops having to play 33 minutes for them. Seems like a perfect guy to have on a practice court.
Yeah, he's one of the guys that I'd like to have stick around, and he's also one of those players that you keep in the rotation, and nights where he has it going like he did against Washington, those are nights that you give him more burn. And then the games where he doesn't really have it, you just don't give him as many minutes. And the Cavs don't have that luxury because we barely have like a six-man rotation of NBA players. But he's someone that I definitely would like to have around. And even Stauskas, like as a 12th or 13th man, he's a fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers. That was a big part of why he wanted him to come to the team. And you know what? That's, if you're getting him for the minimum, I don't hate having him on the roster, especially as someone that is generally really liked in locker rooms.
Yeah, it's funny. The point you kind of made about Burks and Hood going, even when those guys played well, it was like, I think we often complain that it sort of happened in a vacuum. Like it wasn't working right towards anything. Cause like, we know that the next time the Cavs are going to be good, it's not going to be because, you know, Alec Burks and Rodney Hood are playing great. And kind of going and playing guys like Nwaba or Stauskas or Dangadel in his small minutes, or even Chris, these guys who are not creators on their own, is kind of forcing the Cavs actually talented playmakers to do it more often. In Sexton's case, guys who need to develop their playmaking more.
Right.
Because like a lot of times I sympathize with the Cavs coaching staff, which I've rarely done this season. Sorry guys. Where it's like, well, you know, oftentimes Sexton was not the best person to attack a defense. Cause Hood does have a little juice off the bounce. Burks does have a little juice off the bounce. So you're going to let those guys handle the ball quite a bit. I mean, We're already seeing that with a guy like Clarkson, who is now like absorbing even more possessions when he's coming off the bench. But forcing some of that control of the offense to Sexton, to Nance, eventually to Love, is going to be really, really helpful for this team in the long term, and kind of make us feel like we're working towards something and at the least know what we're dealing with here.
Right, right. Like I think in general, it just, Sexton having opportunities to handle the ball, to make the right decisions with guys around him that make sense, like Kevin Love, Jetty Osman, Larry Nance, or Tristan Thompson at center. You can have Stauskas out there or Nwaba. Like I just think he's going to have opportunities to read what the defense is giving him, and standing around watching Hood and Burks, well, it was probably the right move from a basketball and trying to win standpoint. It wasn't going to help his development at all, and it's encouraging, and I really hope that we get more time, because it seems like Jetty and Love aren't locks to stay healthy. But just have those three playing together would be really, really encouraging to me, and especially if they finish strong. The other thing that's really encouraging is just how well Brandon Knight has played these last two games. Like, that's been a little bit of a pleasant surprise. And I mean,
yeah.
If you're looking, I don't think it's going to last. I mean, he's played 13, 14 games this season. He hasn't been shooting well, but
he hasn't been playing with the Apex Playmakers on the Cleveland Cavaliers. So
exactly. But he's 6 of 7 from three as a Cavalier. I'm sure that'll last. But him looking competent and looking like a decent player, that's something that we should all be rooting for, because as an expiring contract next year, you need someone to believe that he's going to be able to not only free up some cap space for them, but also like be a competent contributor. And if he can kind of finish this season strong, that gives the Cavs even more flexibility, because obviously the reason that they made the deals this past season wasn't for the bad contracts or the big money that they took on in Knight, Delly, and Henson. It was to get the picks. But if those guys play well and they look like something that could help another team, that gives you so much more flexibility in being able to move them, take on more future money for more assets, and kind of repeat the cycle.
Yeah, I agree. It's weird to say they're well set up right now, because they're not. But in a lot of ways, like, it is such a market improvement from what it felt like 3 months ago, just in terms of the bodies they have available, the assets they have to work with moving forward, and just the general sense of the roster. Yeah, they're short on wings, but they were short on good wings anyway. Mm-hmm. Rodney Hood, Alec Burks, you know, like, these are 9th, 10th men on good teams, and they were 2nd or 3rd men for the Cavs structurally. Right. So,
and it's a wing heavy draft.
Yeah, it is a wing heavy draft. And, you know, when RJ is in the wine and gold, I'm sorry, I was under the impression we were actually passing on RJ per tankathon.
yeah, running the tankathon simulation on the Chase Down Pod Twitter account there, and getting the number 2 pick and passing on RJ, I don't necessarily agree with that assessment. I'll
dude,
just say,
what if Dan Gilbert falls in love with another point guard who can't shoot?
See, Morant is obviously who you're referring to. I think I'd handle picking Reddish over RJ better than I'd handle picking Morant, even though in a vacuum, I want Morant more. I just kind of have some of those rust concerns with Morant, and obviously,
dude, I would love to have the problems the OKC Thunder have right now. What are you talking about?
What do you mean? We've already overpaid a UCLA alum that's on the decline of his career for emotional reasons. Come on. My God.
No, I would be fine. If Ja Morant turned into Russ Westbrook, we would fall in love with him just like, you know, we would. Again, we fell in love with Deion.
Who's this we? To steal a line from Ben Gulliver, do you have a mouse in your pocket? Why are you using we?
Oh, collectively. The collective we.
The I'm royal sorry. We.
The royal we. Yeah, it's a weird spot for the Cavs, though. Now that Love's back, like, he's kind of all I can look. Like, how do you feel that moving forward the rest of the season with this team? Because now we really are playing out the string.
Right.
Like, the roster isn't changing.
Yeah, we're locked in with who we have. I mean, I think I'm going to enjoy this closing stretch a whole lot more. I mean, we're basically guaranteed a bottom four record. That's great. Your worst case scenario is a 1% decrease in chances of getting a first overall pick or landing in that top 3 or 4. So I basically just get to enjoy Kevin Love trying to figure it out. He's a very smart player and he's fun to watch. I get to see what impact that has on Jetty Osman, who's been having a strong stretch recently before this injury and is going to look to close out the season. I'm going to be able to watch Colin Sexton and see how he develops. There's more players I can care about that are going to be in the rotation. Tristan Thompson is not far. Tristan Thompson's not far away. Larry Nance is healthy right now. He had a hell of a game against the Knicks here. There's reasons to be invested. I mean, there was such a long stretch of this season where it's, okay, Sexton and Jetty are off the floor. I don't even know who I'm watching. Like, there's no player worth keeping an eye on here. There's no one that we're investing in. And I think that's going to be different down the stretch. And it's going to be more of what I hope that this season would be at the start of the year, which is a bad team that sometimes looks competent and looks fun.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's fair. Jetty in particular is like, I really want to get to see him get to play in his proper position, because he's not a small ball four right now at all. No, he's played like 60% of his minutes there this season with Love hurt and no other real power forwards on the roster. Getting to guard twos and using his length and speed instead of kind of getting brute forced by all these other wings and letting Nwaba take on the more challenging assignments. Do you think that's the starting lineup the rest of the year? Once everyone's healthy, is Sexton, Nwaba, Jetty, Love, and Thompson?
Yeah, well, assuming Tristan's back and healthy, yeah, it'll be him. I think that's going to be it. I could see them theoretically going with Knight at shooting guard and just going.
They might.
Because, I mean,
you get an extra bit of shooting.
Yeah, you get an extra bit of shooting and you get some supplemental playmaking, because I think Sexton does need some help, but Knight is also comfortable playing off ball. So I think from a basketball standpoint, that makes a lot of sense. And again, he's someone that you probably want to showcase, because I think Delly is what he is. I don't think anyone's really going to buy into that. But Henson, when he returns, and Knight, those are the two that you're hoping you can get someone to believe that they can contribute.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Justin, the Cavs are kind of, if they're looking to make some progress in the lottery odds, even despite their getting healthy, they might have to, you know, shave a few points here and there. And we want our listeners to be shaving as well.
Oh my God, Carter, that is just brutal.
Absolutely. I'm so tired. We've got an announcement to make, Justin. Blue Wire is teaming up with Harry's Razors to make sure our listeners are shaving comfortably. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to save $10 on a value trial set, which includes a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. I'll tell you this much, Justin. Are you a shaving cream guy right now? I know you're waiting on your Harry's package to come in. Do you use shaving cream or shave gel?
I use neither. I'm a scrub. But you don't want to look like me. You want to look better than me.
Hold on. I know we're in the middle of an ad read here, but you don't use either when you shave?
Well, no, I don't really shave. I just use like an electric razor to trim up my beard, and that's about it.
Oh my gosh. You are a scrub. You're going to look so much better after you get your Harry's razors. You get all that for just $3, Justin. Shipped right to your door. How much is that Canadian?
Like 20.
Someone send help to Justin. That's why you gotta sign up, because Justin needs this. Enough with the cheap razors. It's totally worth trying Harry's. Harry's is fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. Harry's founders, they're tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. Looking at you, the 47 blade razors I see on TV. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years. That's an interesting short story I want to learn more about. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All of Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, just let them know. They'll give you a full refund, though. Again, it's only $3. So, again, make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for $3. Now, Justin, I'm going to pass this one off to you, because sometimes if you're using, let's say, a straight razor, you might slip and make a mistake. And if you do, you need to protect your family.
You know what? As you were reading that, I was like, I want to make a razor joke for this next sponsor, but
I'm getting you there.
Life can be stressful, but getting life insurance shouldn't be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a kind of modern life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At getethos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million. No hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply, and you can be rest assured knowing you've taken steps to protect your family. And in most cases, with Ethos, you can have peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day with no hidden fees. That's less than a cup of coffee, Carter.
Having life insurance. That's what they just said, Justin.
Having life insurance can free you up from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it, especially when it's cheaper than a cup of coffee. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in just minutes. Go to getethos.com. That's E-T-H-O-S. Getethos.com. Getethos.com.
For less than a cup of coffee. I'm so unhappy with you for your lack of, for acting as though you just thought of that, that it was less than a cup of coffee when they just told you that it was less than a cup of coffee. They didn't
I wanted to emphasize it.
They didn't say like for 147 a day, and you were like, whoa, that's less than a cup of coffee. You just took their line and acted like it was new.
Carter, as we've already established, 147, that's more than a cup of coffee when you're talking about Canadian here. So,
like, oh yeah, that's fair. To be clear, I don't know if it's 147 a day. That's pure speculation. So please don't hold us accountable for that, but just still go to getethos.com. Justin. Yeah,
it's probably in that ballpark though.
Yeah, one would imagine less than a cup of coffee. It depends on if you're going to like Starbucks or whatever, who is not a sponsor, so we're not going to give you shit. Justin, what should like, if you had to like pick a goal for the Cavaliers the rest of the year, what should it be? I'm trying to figure out their reason for being the rest of the year because I'm kind of struggling to do so.
My goal for the Cleveland Cavaliers would be kind of individual. I want to see the shooting splits of Jetty Osmond and Colin Sexton improve down the stretch. I want to see Jetty kind of get to that like 45-37 marker. I want to see Colin Sexton continue to work on his assist to turnover ratio, make better decisions, and see if just kind of having some of the load taken off his shoulders helps him in playing a more efficient and more intelligent brand of basketball. Obviously, the goal shouldn't be the win-loss record. Like, if you're rooting for the Cavs and you want them to finish high in the lottery, that's fine. But you should be rooting for the Cavs to be successful on each play. You just want the other team to be a little more successful. And trust me, with this defense, that's probably very likely. But I just want to see that growth. Those are the two guys that matter to me because Jetty's kind of found money as a second-round pick. I think he's already established himself as a rotation player in the NBA. But for him and Sexton to really elevate their games on the stretch, that's what I really want to see.
Yeah, I think those are fair goals. I do want to see if Jetty can kind of turn this recent stretch of good play into something legitimate. I mean, similar to Sexton having a great stretch, Jetty, before he got hurt, just put up 25, 29, 17, and 26 against Boston, Miami, Chicago, and Washington. And even if he can just settle into like 15, 16 a game with a little bit more efficiency, you know, the three-pointer has been looking so much better lately, though. You know, a 6 of 7 from three game against Boston will really certainly help those numbers look a lot better. I don't know. I Jetty just seems to be the guy that like has my interest the most still. But with the caveat that like if Sexton can actually make something out of the space he's actually going to get out of a Kevin Love return and ideally a Jetty return and a little bit more shooting across the board. I mean, I don't know. I'm just a little worried about him still. So I just want to see him make the right play more often with regards to Sexton. I don't think he sees the game at a high level. I think we all know that. But he can at least make the mechanically right play. Even he's starting to make interesting passes out of the pick and roll where he's kind of flipping it to his offhand and taking some weird angles to generate some open threes. We've seen that the last couple games. But when he has a man advantage, when he has a 4-on-3 in the fast break, he's still not really making the right decision. He either hesitates or kind of drives headlong into traffic. So I really just want to see his decision-making grow.
Right. And I don't think your take that you're more interested in Jetty down the stretch is that outlandish, because I think with Sexton, what he really needs, he's seen the NBA game a little slower now. The game's making a little more sense to him. But what he needs more than anything is just an offseason to work on his body, add strength, learn how to draw contact, and study in film. Like, I think you're not going to see tons and tons of growth. Like, I think you can see growth in decision-making. But until he kind of adds that extra weight and has that offseason, I just don't think you're going to see a leap from him.
That's a really good point.
Whereas Jetty took a leap from last year, but I think he's just been asked to do too much. So seeing how the changes he's made to his game translate to a role that's more suited to his current skill set, I think that's where you want to see kind of where that development has gone to up to this point, and see if he can kind of close off the year strong. Because, I mean, if Jetty finishes the year strong, obviously Sexton's going to be someone that they're invested in moving forward to next year. But if Jetty finishes strong, Sexton looks good, Love looks healthy, and you add a promising rookie to that, that's something you can kind of buy into going into next season. And I think that would give you enough reason to kind of get excited. And that's all we really want, right? Like, at this point, you want reasons to care.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best points I've ever heard you make on this podcast. So credit where credit is due.
It's a low bar.
Though I'm loath to give it out, is this that Sexton is not super interesting this year. So much of what he has to do to be a good and exciting NBA player is off-season work. And Jetty has already kind of done a lot of that work. Now it's implementing it and earning it consistently. Learning, getting that three-pointer off and finding rhythm on getting it, getting in rhythm, getting it consistent in game on a night-to-night basis. Like, that's stuff we can see this year. That kind of growth is a little bit more obvious, whereas really we just kind of have to wait with Sexton. And that's right. Not an insult. He's just younger and needs a lot more physical development.
Right. That's just reality at this point.
So, yeah, I do think I'm interested in Jetty. And I just, with Love, it's more I'm just excited to see. I'm excited for him for my own sake, really. It's like the games are going to be more watchable with him out there. But it really is a Jetty Sexton existence in the short term.
No, for sure. I mean, Love is just kind of, he raises the floor of your entertainment value. I mean, he's just someone that knows how to play. Like, it's night and day him compared to everybody else on the court. Like, it really does stand out.
Yeah, I agree. What else do we want to talk about, Justin?
That's a damn good question, my friend.
We're running out of shit, bro.
We are running out of shit. do you want to get into the most nauseating topic right now, which is the Anthony Davis situation and whether or not the Pelicans negotiated in good faith and whether they should be forced to play him and blah, 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 blah.
I don't want to have that discussion, but I do. Well, the discussion I do want to have is why is he playing? But like, really? I know it's the rules, but the rules are fairly nebulous in the NBA. You know, like they're applied selectively in a way that I actually think is generally good. It's just like, why does he want to play?
I mean,
what is he getting out of this? Just cash your fucking checks, dude. They don't want to play you. You don't want to get hurt.
But apparently he wants to play it. And
I guess it's not fair for me to tell Anthony Davis what he should want. But it's like, if you wanted to do this, just don't make a public trade demand.
No, I get that. And to some extent, I understand. I mean,
it just feels like
there's season ticket holders that want to see him play. And obviously,
do they? They were booing him.
Oh, I think that's not going to last. I think as you kind of finish out the season, I think they'll eventually kind of get over it.
My thing is him wanting to play and like still wanting to stay in New Orleans after how ugly that got indicates to me some kind of disconnect between him and Rich Paul.
Right. No. I think that's a fair point. And I mean, if teams can screw up medical reports and tell Kawhi Leonard that he's healthy enough to play when he isn't, can't you go the other way on it? Can't you just say, no, Anthony, we don't really trust what we're seeing here. You have to sit.
Yeah, it just seems so easy if they really wanted to. And it seems like the Pelicans, I mean, I get why the NBA is pressuring the Pelicans to play him. But I don't really think the NBA has much recourse if Davis didn't want to play.
Right, right.
You know, then we have a JR Smith situation.
Yeah,
where both teams, both parties equally agreed, hey, let's just not do this.
Yeah, but at the same time, you do have Chandler Parsons, who's been begging to play for a couple months now.
And, yeah, and he forced his way back onto the floor.
Well, now that the deadline's passed, yeah. But
point is, you can force your if both parties agree, then this would not be hard. I just don't get what's in it for AD. It made me think, not that he would stay, but like the wishy-washiness of it all reminded me of the Dwight Mayer.
I can see some of that. I mean, maybe he's just a less charismatic Dwight that doesn't know what he wants in life, which would mean he's a pretty great fit for Kevin Durant in New York. So hopefully that works out. I have so little interest in it because there's so many hills that people are choosing to die on every single day. And I just don't have the energy to keep doing it. I really, really don't. And I think ultimately there's going to be some sort of compromise here where maybe Davis does say, okay, I don't really want to play down the stretch, or maybe they end up playing well enough to get back in the playoff picture and then ultimately just fall a little bit short, which seems like the likely outcome for the season. But I just can't really bring myself to care. I really can't.
And it's, I mean, obviously I'm not going to shed tears for anyone that the Pelicans didn't negotiate in good faith. You know, we're at this weird point with player empowerment, and I've talked about it a lot, where the pendulum maybe swung on in our own little bubble that we're in a little too far the other way, where it's like, yeah, he doesn't know anyone shit. He can, yeah, he didn't choose to play in New Orleans. And it's like, yeah, but he did like sign a contract that said he'd play for them. So like he's not operating in good faith by demanding that they trade him when he's still got 2 years left in his contract. Like, I don't care, to be clear. I'm not mad that he demanded a trade, but like, I'm also not super interested in painting anyone as a victim here. It's just like, this is such a value neutral situation to me. It's like, okay, Anthony Davis requested a trade. He's allowed to do that. Well, he's not by NBA rules, but who cares? Again, nebulous.
Yeah, he's just not allowed to do it publicly.
He requests a trade. That's fine. He's going to look out for him, and that's okay. And then the team was like, we're not going to fucking do that. So, sorry. You know, at least by the deadline. They're like, I don't like any of these offers, so I don't care what they offer. If they want to embarrass themselves in the process, sure. You know, I don't think anyone has to. No one is obligated to act in good faith here.
No. I mean,
especially.
The Lakers did. Yeah. They didn't. It's fine. You know what? Like, I'm fine with it. And ultimately, I'm interested to see where this kind of goes in terms of players asking out, how early they start asking out, because obviously 2 years was kind of unprecedented until recently. But we'll see what ends up happening, because none of these guys end up going to where they want to go. And
that's the question I wanted to ask you is, if would you say it is significantly more likely that he will end up on the Lakers or Celtics than any other team? Because I would not. I feel like someone's going to come in out of nowhere.
I think so too. I mean, the Lakers' best chance is for the Knicks to not get a good pick. Maybe they fall to like 6 or 7. And for Kyrie to say, no, I'm gone. And for Boston to still say, no, we're not going to trade for KD or AD, pardon me. And then nobody else putting forward an offer. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think there's interesting possibilities. Like, let's say Philly does re-sign Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler, and then all of a sudden, you know what, maybe now, because we do have these four guys, we can kind of consolidate here and trade for Anthony Davis, and they offer up Ben Simmons, and that trumps anything that LA can offer, because I know it's a lot of names, but that's also a lot of guys whose rookie contracts are going to be up soon, and you're going to have to commit a lot of your cap to what essentially amounts to the Washington Wizards if they were all Otto Porter and not John Wall and Bradley Beal. So it's I just don't see that being the most appealing offer. I think there might be a wild card that kind of gets into the mix and takes him away.
I hope someone gets crazy. Maybe it's the Nuggets just throwing in Gary Harris and a couple young guys, you know, with Malik Beasley playing as well as he's played. Maybe that makes you more comfortable moving Harris. I don't know. It's there's a lot of interesting options, but it just feels like this isn't going to go the way we thought it was going to go when this all went down at this point. There's too much enmity towards the Lakers, and there's a lot of enmity towards the Celtics, and the Celtics seem like they're in a bit of a disaster. So I don't know if I don't know how the Lakers could have handled this better. Maybe just, you know, we've talked about like how the whole league hates them for tampering, but everyone tampers. But the Lakers do have that built in, like everyone doesn't want to see them.
They're blatant with it. It's,
yeah, they are blatant. That's for sure.
If you don't take our pieces of trash for your star player, you're going to get nothing for them when we inevitably sign them for nothing. So, like, it's
talk about arguing, you know, negotiating in bad faith. It's negotiating by like, being insulting.
Yeah, it's not
exactly. They're negging them.
Pretty much. I like that. I like that a lot. But Carter, here's one thing I'll promise. I will never promise. Wow, that yikes. Almost went poorly. I promise that I will never ask for a trade away from you in this
podcast. Oh, thanks, babe.
I might demand that you get traded. I'm not moving, but
that's fair.
I will not leave. So I think that's probably a good spot to wrap. I think we're just going to go in circles with this Davis situation because there is no easy
answer. So is everyone else.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, Twitter spent an entire few days going in circles. We just spent like 10 minutes. So I think that's okay. But I want to thank all of our listeners for supporting the podcast. You guys really are the best. Oh my God, my voice cracked. Going through puberty is tough, but you guys have helped with your support of the podcast.
Thank God you're going to have those Harry's razors to shave your...
Okay.
Never mind.
I think everybody saw where you were going there.
I actually wasn't going to go there, but then I was there on accident.
Great. Thank you. But yeah, thanks again to our listeners. I want to beg you guys. Right now, we are sitting at 188 reviews and ratings on iTunes, and I want to get to 200. So if you haven't already, support the podcast by subscribing, leave a rating, leave a review, tell your friends and families about it, and also support our sponsors, Harry's Razors, as well as Ethos. I mean, it's hard to beat free. Harry's Razors is giving you that free trial, so make sure you check that out. So we will be back later this week with more good Cavs talk and hopefully some interesting things to talk about. So until next time, go Cavs.